Kansas and hunt his quail season with him, and then he'd come to Missouri and hunt my season with me. And, and we both had good dogs. But I was down at Fred's ranch, Little Pirate Ranch, out of Winfield, Kansas, a few miles out. Had about 10 oil wells in his front yard. But anyway, Paul wanted me to help him with his first contract. Now this is 26 weeks. And so I invited him over to Fred's place, with Fred's permission, of course.
Sure.
And Paul got there in a Dodge coupe. It had been used a little bit. But he got out of the car, and he had on the purplest suit I ever saw, the loudest.
Wow!
And he had a couple of bags, one of them, both of them looked like it knocked around a little bit. But one of them I knew was had a musical instrument in it. Fred and I are just in from the field, still had our hunting clothes on, and he came up, and of course, took him in the house. Asked him if he wanted a drink. Fred and I were both having a highball, which we usually did. Had one or never more than two before dinner. And I asked Paul if he'd have one. Oh, yes, he said, I'll have one. If I'd have been close enough to him, I'd have nudged him to keep you from it, you know. But anyway, he had one. And then after dinner, we'd sit around the fireplace, eat popcorn while Muriel played the piano, you know. They had a big fireplace that'd hold a half a tree. And I said, Paul, why don't you go along, play with Muriel there? I know you've got some kind of an instrument. He took it out and it was a saxophone. And Muriel asked him what she should play. Oh, he says anything, I'll just
come in with you,
come
follow
in,
along.
Follow along. So she did, and he did too, and did a pretty good job.
I'll be darned.
Well, we get out in the field the next day, and the dogs found the bird. I said, Paul, this is your bird. He said, all right. So we kicked the bird out, and he up and shoots, and he hadn't got his gun near his shoulder from the hip, you know.
Yeah.
But the bird fell deader than a doornail.
Wow.
And Fred and I looked at each other and said, well, we better stay behind this kid. And the dogs found another bird. And I said, Paul, do you take this one? Oh, no. He says, it's yours or Mr. Clark's. And I said, well, tell you the truth, we think that first jump was an accident. Oh, all right. So we kicked the bird out. Same thing, gun still just down here, but the bird didn't even flutter, deader than a door.
How could he take aim with a gun down that low?
Well, he was a hip shooter, I guess.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a bird down all day.
My God.
He's the best field shot I ever hunted with. Lord, what a shot.
He grew up doing that in Oklahoma then.
Down around Enid, or Ada, I guess.
Yeah, he's born in a little place called Hara.
Was he?
But
yeah.
You're right in being near Enid and those places.
Well, Ada is the one I always think about.
Yeah.
But Paul was entirely different than Lloyd. Now, Paul would take a drink, you know. He'd come out the ballpark. And I know one time we went to Chicago and Larry French was pitching for Chicago. And he told Larry, he says, don't come too close to me today. I can't see too well. Lloyd, Larry said, all right. So that day he only got four straight doubles.
Oh, boy.
Blue darters.
I'm going to talk to French in the next 2 weeks or so.
Well, tell him hello.
He lives in San Diego, you know.
I believe his wife died.
Yes.
Did he marry again?
He's remarried. When I contacted him by mail, he called me, and he said, my wife and I, you can't reached me for a few weeks because my wife and I, we were just married in December. We're going on a trip to the Orient.
Well.
And so that's the story on his remarriage. Yeah.
Where's his son?
I don't know. I haven't talked to
him. How do we talk about shooting? He was a pro shooter.
The son.
With a Remington or some gun out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But Larry and I both, we lived close together out. We had an apartment. Larry built a house. Beautiful house out in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry and I used to go over to Catalina and hunt quail, you know. Oh, we'd nice. Come back with a lot of them, but he was quite a fella. He's a pretty good pitcher, too.
Yeah, he didn't get to Pittsburgh until the year after you left.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, he's a good pitcher. He won 197 games.
Was it?
I want to ask him when I get to him, didn't you have any urge to go back and get three more to hit that 200 mark?
Yeah.
After the war, you know.
Be sure and tell him hello, will you?
I will. He retired as a captain in the U.S. Navy, you know.
Yeah. Well, I believe he's more than a captain.
Well, he's listed in the phone book as captain.
Is he?
Yeah, Captain Lawrence French. So I don't know any more than that. He might have had a temporary field promotion during the wartime to more than a captain.
Yeah.
And then dropped back.
Well, he had something to do with the financial office.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, who was a captain, retired as a captain, lives in Coronado, that's right outside San Diego, you know. Pat Callahan was over to the house. He's mayor of Coronado now, and he was over last Sunday afternoon. He and his wife for a little visit. And he was mentioning just what French had done, and I can't recall the title, but it was like what you say. In the
Larry French and Steve was Sweetonic.
Uh-huh.
You remember that name?
Yes,
I can't
do.
Get it out very well. But both of them, they're always pulling tricks on somebody. And they'd come up to you and fondle your coat here, and all of a sudden there went a button.
You're kidding.
Now that takes a lot of strength, you know,
to do that.
Off your best. But they could do that, you know.
Wow. Tell me a little more about Lloyd Wehner.
Well, I hear from Lloyd once in a while. He's been in a sanitarium in Oklahoma City, but
yeah.
I actually hear from Zocco McCary, who was our clubhouse boy in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm only a couple of years older than he was, but at that time I thought we thought he was just a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he was then. But then he scouted for us. He used to babysit for Joe Cronin.
Oh, boy.
You know, when Cronin was president of the league.
Yeah.
Zocco would get the first pass he issued. And, of course, they're still great friends.
Uh-huh.
But Zocco tells me more about these different fellows than I actually hear from, you know.
Yeah.
But I believe he said that he thought Lloyd was out of the sanitarium now and back home.
I wrote to Lloyd, but I haven't heard anything.
Haven't you?
Yeah. He was born in 06.
Yeah.
Paul was born in 03. Paul is dead now.
Yeah, and I'm not very much older than either one of them.
No, that's right.
But when you're young...
That makes
four
a difference.
5 years makes.
Oh, sure.
I got 5 years older than Joe Cronin.
Uh-huh.
That's all, but then...
He was just a kid.
Then, you know, he used to follow me around like a dog. If I stumbled over second base, he would too, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I still hear from Joe once in a while. He's a grand guy with a great family.
Yeah. He's back in Massachusetts, I think.
Well, he's summers back there at Cape Cod.
Yeah.
But he built a new home in Daytona Beach now.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he lives now, and he used to have a place out of Orlando. That's where Minnesota used to train
him,
Grimmis.
Tell me a little about old George Kelly, who played a little with you in Brooklyn, first baseman.
Well, we weren't actually together.
Weren't you?
He was with the Giants.
Yeah, but I...
Mostly.
Sure. I mean, checks. I thought so, too, but all of a sudden I came up here with...
Well,
Let me see.
And Yards, when he was with the Giants, he and I were the relay men.
Ah.
He did all the relay for the Giants, and I did all for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great arm. Now, he's a guy that had a little glove, not much
really?
Bigger than his hand, first base.
Well, according to this thing, Glenn, George Kelly played first base for Brooklyn when you were there in 32, played 64 games, about half time.
Yeah.
Who was the other first baseman?
I doubt if I played very much then either. But
yeah, you were in 127 games.
But I just don't remember throwing to him too much.
Dick Siebert, Bruce Caldwell. Who else was the first baseman? Oh, Bud Clancy.
I know I never threw to him.
Really? Says he played.
He was there in 32?
Played 52 games at first base for in Brooklyn in 52.
Now, Lou Blue, Joe Judge, when were they there?
Well,
I threw to them. I know I threw to Joe Judge. I'm not too sure.
Sam Leslie was there in 33.
At,
I remember.
At Brooklyn?
Yeah.
He's with the Giants.
Yeah, that's right. But he came over. Sam Leslie played 96 games at first base for Brooklyn in 33. And you played 71 games of shortstop.
In 33?
Yeah.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't matter at all. How about, who else have I got here? Oh, tell me about Lefty O'Dool.
Well, now, Lefty, he's one in a million, you know, Lefty was. Now, we had him in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Of course, he was with the Phils longer than he was with Brooklyn, but he played left field for us in Brooklyn. And every ball that was hit out there, I had to go out and get it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was out too far, somebody had to come out and get it from me. My arm wasn't much better.
Yeah.
Because Lefty couldn't throw. But he could run when he wanted to. And
no, he must have been able to throw in his early, because was he a pitcher?
He was a pitcher with the Yanks, I believe.
Yeah.
I never saw him pitch, though. Now, like Bill Terry, I'd hit against him when he was with Toledo.
I'll be darned.
I used to kid him. I said, gee whiz, there goes my batting average. You started playing first base.
But O'Dool could hit with anybody, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody else hit like him. He kind of had an open stance, you know. And his back foot was in closer to the plate.
Uh-huh.
And he could hit the left field, but not too well. But he could... Well, when I think about left-hand hitters, I think about he and Babe Herman and Cy Williams. Do you remember?
Yes.
Big Cy?
Yeah.
Didn't he go to Notre Dame?
I think he did, yeah. He and Ed Ruhlbach went to Notre Dame.
Well, I don't remember Ruhlbach.
And old Cap Anson went to Notre Dame.
He did?
Yeah.
It's like some of the guys say, ask me how I hit Cy Young, you know. Well, I knew Cy Young.
Yeah, I used to talk to him. You didn't miss him by too many years.
I talked to him at World Series or so.
Yeah.
But I used to, for somehow or other, my World Series tickets used to be alongside Connie Max for some reason.
And that's wonderful.
And I enjoyed talking to Connie Max.
I would think so. Yeah.
I know one time, speaking of Fred Clark a while ago, Fred was some kind of a commissioner of that semi-pro outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what league it was called, what association was called, but Connie Mack, George Sisler. George Sisler was the commissioner of it, too, at one time. And Nichols, Kid Nichols, was it?
Kid Nichols,
yeah. Well, they were all down at the tournament at Wichita.
Uh-huh.
And Fred decided to have a dinner for all of them. Kind of a picnic-like dinner outside, you know, beer and lots to eat and everything. And his his business friends from Wichita, or from Winfield, came out too. And he had a couple of dead balls there for the Hall of Famers to sign.
Yeah.
Connie Mack, Nichols, and Sisler, somebody else. Well, Connie was signing the ball. It took him a half hour, seemed like. I says, Connie, would you like for me to go ahead and imitate your name or write kind of like you, and I'll sign these for you? Well, he says, that's mighty nice of you, Glenn, but I think they'd prefer knowing that I signed them. I said, well, I'm sure they would.
Yeah,
he was like that.
Yeah.
And we didn't say much, sitting there watching the game once in a while. Like Carl Hubble used to sit with me all the time because neither one ever said a word. At a game.
I'm going to talk to Carl when I go through Phoenix.
Well, tell him hello. Yeah,
I will.
He's a wonder.
Yeah.
And he told me that every game he pitched, his arm was so sore he didn't know whether he lived through the night or not.
That's because of that screwball, I guess.
Yeah, and he had one, you know.
Oh.
They talk about...
Valenzuela.
Well, his... Shucks Pruitt, did you ever see him pitch?
Never saw him pitch, but I know...
You know, he had a screwball. Well, he struck out
Babe Ruth.
He's
the one that always struck out Babe Ruth, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still alive. I saw him quoted in the paper months ago.
Pruitt?
Yeah, he's a doctor of some kind.
Yeah, I thought he was a dentist.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
But I went to school with him.
Hmm.
Now, Shucks was with Boston one time anyway. And
started, I think, with the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this time he's with Boston and the old Braves.
Yeah.
And somehow or other he was sliding into second base. I can't imagine him hitting one, but he must have. And I tagged him kind of hard, wherever it was, in the forehead, or slid in head first or something, or just rolled in.
Yeah.
And he said, holy mackerel, Glenn, is that the way you tag everybody? And I said, no, that's for not letting me play catch with you, Missouri. He warmed up with the catcher, and they wouldn't let me play with him. Inside the gym in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, that's for because you wouldn't let me play catch with you.
Tell me a little about Hack Wilson.
Well, Hack, there's nobody like Hack either.
Yeah.
Now, if you noticed how thick my bat handle was, his was just that small. He'd get as small as he could and then shave it off.
I'll be darned.
He had a little hand.
Yeah.
But he had lots of bat. He didn't use a light bat.
And had to be pretty powerful in the arms.
Oh, he was. Well, you know, he's pudgy.
Yeah.
And he was known to have a drink or two.
Oh, yes.
Like, with Chicago now, he used to get a Elgin watch, you know, for a home run there.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved all of them to have one something special made out for his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I had several there myself. That's a good place to hit home runs.
Yes.
You also got them in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave all mine away to my relatives and friends.
Because
we still had a series in each town. And
mm-hmm.
I thought it was a cinch for me to get one for myself. And, of course, we played there those series. And I didn't even come close to the wall. That's the way it happened sometimes. Hack was a pretty good outfielder too, but he never felt good. Every morning I used to, when he had him in Brooklyn, I used to go and he'd be in front of his locker and I'd, with his hands on his knees or I'd go up, clip up behind him and shake his head and then run. But he'd pick up whatever he was close and throw it at me. But one time he drank a bottle of gin, a bottle of some kind of whiskey, and a case or two of beer.
Mm.
And then I went out and had a couple of hamburger sandwiches.
Oh, boy.
And the next morning he said, I'll be damned if I'll ever eat any more of those sandwiches. Made me sick as a dog, you know, after all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Which he was, well, I guess he could hold quite a bit too, but he was his own worst enemy.
Yes.
Now, he wouldn't fight for himself, but he'd fight for me or you or anybody. Now, Danny Taylor was his buddy in Chicago, and we got Danny in Brooklyn, too. We're down in Coral Gables at a fancy hotel there. Hilton?
Could be.
Well, anyway, they had two golf courses, swimming pool and everything. Well, Gilladue, who's
I know the name, yeah.
Brooklyn, the vice president or something with the Stetson hat people. He owned that, or practically it did, but he was giving us a dinner by the swimming pool down at this hotel. And they had beer to drink there. Of course, the guys that won their highballs had them before they came down, you know. Of course, we had Mungo and Hack Wilson and Taylor, and well, Taylor had to go to the boys' room or someplace, came back, and Mungo pulled his chair out from under, and he lit right on his rear end, and Hack saw it, of course. Well, he wasn't going to do that to his buddy, so I had to keep him apart. I'm the captain of the club. That's one of my jobs, I was told. Keep peace in the family.
Yeah.
Well, everything went along all right till we started break up, went back up to our room. Well, most all of us lived on the same floor, some in different wings. Guys with wives lived in one wing, singles the other, but I looked down the hallway and saw a whole bunch of our guys down there. So I told them I don't have to go into the room. I'd go down and see what happened. Well, there, Mungo and Hack Wilson are having it out. And Hack had gone around to Mungo's room. And, well, everybody wanted Hack to knock the deuce out of Mungo. Because he was kind of that way, you know. Nobody cared too much, especially if he had a drink or two. Talked like he had marbles in his mouth, worse than I do now. And I finally got up nerve enough that they weren't hitting each other. They were hitting the walls. It was that rough, like the outside of some houses.
Stucco.
And they were skidding their knuckles and everything, but I finally got up nerve enough to get in between them. And I shoved Mungo in his room and locked the door and kept the key. Then I took Hack on around in his room. He'd do almost anything I'd tell him to. He was all right that way, but like I say, he'd sure go to the bat for everybody else but himself.
He really stood up for his friend.
Now that's the greatest. I think I got a questionnaire one time from whoever it was. The greatest feat in baseball, like DiMaggio's
56.
Number of hits and two no-hit games.
Vandermeer,
and things. And but I wrote in. I thought Hack Wilson driving in
190 runs.
What is it, 190?
190 or 191 even.
Well, it's something like that. And I said, I think that's a... Now they
it's
go crazy about a guy that drives in 80 runs or something. Of course, Gehrig used to drive in a lot of runs.
Gehrig came closest to Hacks.
Yeah.
I think Gehrig had 184. Wait a second, and I'll tell you what Hack had. He had 190.
190.
In 1930.
Now, you know that's a lot of runs.
Oh, God, that's not quite a run and a half per game, but it's damn near.
Yes, it is. That was a...
Oh, yeah.
That was when we... Well, they didn't play as many games.
No, 154.
Yeah. Now it's what, 62?
162, yeah. That's interesting. Now, you saw in his last moments, Wade Hoyt.
Yes. Now, Wake beat us the first game of the series in 27.
Yes, that's right.
And we later got him at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Now, Wake was a kind of a playboy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pulling jokes on everybody.
I've heard that. Yeah.
But he was a good pitcher.
Oh, yes.
And he played to win, too.
Yeah. I wrote to Hoyt, and he replied very nicely in a long letter that he's hooked up with some outfit that is making a documentary film and book about his, about a person who chose baseball as a career and tracing his life all the way through before he got in baseball, while he was in baseball, and after he got out of baseball. Of course, you know, Hoyt.
No, I don't know what difference that makes.
No, that's right. But
with
they,
yours.
Well, they thought it was, I didn't either, but they thought it would be a kind of a conflict of interest, and they said he shouldn't take part in it.
Well, is your book about just old timers, or?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I never saw one of those.
It's a great book.
Now, I've got one, you know the kind I've got.
Yeah. You got the baseball encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Well, this has been out a couple of years. It goes up through 1980.
Oh.
And it's got a number of things in it. What I'm checking on as I look at it every so often is, see, it starts in 1901 and goes through 1980, and it gives, here's 1914.
Yeah.
And the finish of the teams in each league with every player, what he did that season for that team.
Yeah.
And you can check and see who was on any other team at that particular time. Does it for both leagues, and then it gives the World Series.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
well,
then
that's all right.
Every so often, here, for instance, batters from who started playing from 1901 to 1990.
Oh, yeah.
And then later there'd be another group from 1920 to 1945. Here we get them.
Yeah.
Gives the collected figures and goes all the way through.
You seem to know where everything is.
Yeah, I've studied this thing upside down. anyway.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all. You saw Paul Richards in his early days as a catcher.
Well, I saw him while he was still in high school.
Really?
When I was at Kansas City, we trained in Waxahachie.
For goodness sakes.
And Paul used to carry my glove or bat out to the ballpark. We had to walk down a railroad track a little way. And even then, he could throw either hand, right or left-handed.
For goodness sakes. You were real close to a little town there called Ennis, Texas. Waxahachie is just a few miles from a town called Ennis.
I don't even remember that.
Which my grandfather founded after the Civil War. He was in the Civil War and retired down
there. Is
that
so?
Founded the town of Ennis.
Do you mind if I smoke, or do
no,
you smoke?
No, I don't anymore, but go right ahead. Doesn't bother me a second.
I didn't smoke in the house for years when Velma was alive, because it bothered her.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to, but I just recently started smoking in the house.
That's all right. Now, wasn't the branch Ricky at Brooklyn by the time you got there?
No, neither was O'Malley.
Walter Langford.